Hello. So, this is the first thing I'm recording post baby. I actually have my baby on my lap right now, so if you hear some little baby noises, you're not imagining them. But I kind of wanted to record and talk about the whole birth and what happened because it was intense and not intense in a weird way. It was so freaking long. It took a very long time. So it might be a long story or it might not be. I don't know. I have some notes to go through, and I don't know if anybody will really be interested in hearing it. But maybe there are some people out there that might like to hear birth stories, or maybe there's some people that are about to give birth that might want to listen. So you might know what to expect, but every birth is different, apparently, and nothing is textbook. But for me, the whole thing kind of started about my 37 weeks in one day. I took a bit of a tumble. I was crossing the street and I was rushing to make it across the street before the walk sign turned off, and I stumbled and fell right on my belly. And I was very scared because I know that you're really not supposed to fall on your belly when you're pregnant. So I got up, and when I got up, my belly hurt so bad. I swore I did something, but my entire abdomen hurt. I sat down, kind of just like on this tiny little ledge by a window, and I called my husband. And I was like, what should I do? Because it was in the morning and I was heading to work. I was trying to make it to a meeting in 5 minutes, and I didn't make it to that meeting, but we Googled it and it said basically you'll want to go to the hospital. But it was like if the baby's moving or if you feel pain or blood, get to the hospital. But also generally you should probably go to the hospital. So we had actually just been to the hospital the day 2 days before for our tour. We toured the birthing center at my nearly 37-week time, because that's 37 weeks is when you're considered term. So it's basically any time after 37 weeks. If you have the baby's not premature, the baby's term. So it was like the very last time we could schedule our tour, and I scheduled it, and lo and behold, we were there again on Monday. So we head to the ER. I'm terrified. I have felt the baby move a bit at this point, but I feel like it's not as much as it had been in the past, and I am like, obviously, I'm not. I'm terrified. I'm really, really, really fucking scared. So we get to the ER and I check in and we sit down, because you have to check into the ER in order to go to the birthing center. You just do. That's what we learned at the tour. So we do that, and they come down and they're like, "Do you need a wheelchair?" I say no, because I'm walking fine. My abdomen doesn't hurt as much anymore. And they come down, and we walk up to the birthing center, and we skip entirely the triage, and they just bring us right to a labor and delivery room. And they hook me up to a external fetal monitor. So that's two little monitors that go on your belly. One of them measures the baby's heart rate, and the other one measures the mom's contractions. So they hook me up to that. Baby's perfectly fine. Huge relief. We hear the heart The nurse says, baby's perfect. Don't worry. Baby's fine. And we're like, phew, good. And they say, okay, we'll keep you hooked up for, I don't remember exactly how long they said. It was like a couple hours. And then if everything was fine in a couple hours, we could go. Turns out I'm actually having contractions and they are consistent. I am not really feeling them at all. But I am having them and they are very consistent. They're like every 3 minutes and they're lasting for about a minute or 30 seconds. I think it was 30 seconds, sometimes every 5 minutes, but they're beautiful, apparently textbook contractions. So I earned myself, a stay overnight at the hospital because of that. And then, they're checking my blood pressure and it starts to go up because apparently, well, I mean, who could keep their blood pressure low at this point? I was trying to get to a meeting. I fell on my butt, my belly, not my butt. I fell on my belly and I rushed to the ER. I'm hooked up to these external monitors and I'm being told I'm having contractions. Obviously my blood pressure is going to be high. And I find out I have to stay the night at the hospital. So I've got this high blood pressure. I am contracting. I'm 37 weeks in one day and I stay overnight at the hospital and they test me for preeclampsia, which is this super scary condition that is very dangerous to the mother and the baby. And I don't test for it. I don't test positive for it. All my blood tests for preeclampsia are fine. So I don't have preeclampsia. I didn't have preeclampsia, but they give me a diagnosis of gestational hypertension, which is the pre-preeclampsia. So in the morning, when I'm like, can I go, please? They say, well, you have gestational hypertension, and that could lead to preeclampsia, which could lead to eclampsia, which is like seizures and death for mother, which is not great. I don't like that. And they say, well, since you're at this point, I was 37 weeks and 2 days, they could induce me that day. And at this point, I just need to go home. I can't spend any more time in the hospital. I have been in the hospital for 24 hours. I don't like hospitals. My original birth plan was to avoid going to the hospital for as long as possible and wait until I was in excruciating pain and basically the baby was going to come in an hour. But so they say we can induce you and you can have this baby right now, or you can go home. I actually had an appointment with the doctor 2 days after that. I already had that standing appointment. And they say, well, you'll talk to your doctor at your appointment, and then we don't want you to go past 38 weeks. So basically, they say, you can induce now, or you have about 4 days to go into labor before we induce you. So I go home. I have missed 2 days of work at this point, and I know that come next Monday, pretty much, I will have this baby. There's no way the doctors are going to let me go to 40 weeks. So I go to work next day, and I tell my supervisor and all my coworkers that this is it. I'm not coming back into work for the rest of the week, because I've got some vacation days to use up before I go on FMLA. And so I hurry, get everything done, finish up all my documentation and the handoff of some of my responsibilities to my coworkers, and say my goodbyes. And then I have a doctor's appointment the next day. And we go to the doctor. I've gained 7 pounds in a week, which is very alarming for how late in pregnancy I am. That would be my middle of my 37 week before my 38 week. Normally you don't gain 7 pounds. So that in itself is very concerning because it is basically indicating that I've retained a ton of water. And I can see it. My ankles were huge, and I had to take off my wedding band weeks earlier because it was no longer fitting. But my hands were swollen to the ability that I could see it, and I used to be able to have my my middle finger and my thumb. I could wrap it around my wrist. I could no longer do that, and we decide, yep, this is it. I'm retaining water. My blood pressure's still a little high, but not that bad. It's no longer to the gestational hypertension, but I'm retaining water. I still am not testing positive for preeclampsia, which is great. But we decide that we're going to induce. And we decide that I am going to the hospital. And we're going to induce in 2 days. So that's kind of setting up the situation. The pre-labor stuff. And how I kind of found myself in a situation to be induced. So now I'm going to kind of talk about what I wanted my labor to look like. And it'll kind of give you an idea of how far we strayed from that. So my original plan, like I said, was to avoid the hospital for as long as possible. I wanted to give birth in the hospital because I was pretty, I understand the risks. I guess is how to put it. I understand the risks of labor, and I wanted to be in a situation where I could have those life-saving interventions if needed. So I wasn't planning on giving birth at home or a birthing center or anything like that. No super crunchy things, but I was hoping to give birth naturally, vaginally, and avoid an epidural because I was pretty sure I could take the pain. I have a fairly high pain tolerance. So I thought I could take it, and I wanted to see if I could take it. So my plan was to stay at home until pretty much transitional labor, where my contractions would be about a minute and a half length and every 3 minutes. So that gives you a minute and a half of contraction, a minute and a half of no contraction, and then again you have a contraction. So that's generally the hardest part of labor, because you are contracting about as much as you are not contracting, or sometimes you even have less time in between the contractions to really relax and get ready for the next one. But that's pretty much the last time you can make it to the hospital. After that is pushing. So I was like, well, I want to be at the hospital before that, but I wanted to avoid all the monitoring and sitting there with an IV in me and not being able to freely move about, not being able to eat, not being in my own space with my own control over things and all that. I wanted to avoid that, but that's not what happened. So the morning I get to the hospital, and we get there for the induction at 8 a.m. And they check us in and get us all situated, get the monitoring all done. I'm back in the external fetal monitor. I've got my 2 straps. And I'm hooked to this machine, and I can't really move. I have to unplug myself every time I want to go to the bathroom. I can't leave my room to walk around. I can only get up to go to the bathroom, and if I want to get up and stretch a little bit, I'm allowed to do that, but really every time I get up and move and stretch, the fetal monitor kind of doesn't monitor baby anymore, so they don't like that. So I'm all hooked up, and at 11 a.m. we start the induction with the cervical ripening method medication. So it's an oral medication at this point. I take it, and my contractions are actually coming on the monitor, but I'm not really feeling them. They feel maybe a little bit painful, maybe a little bit like some menstrual cramps is kind of what they feel like, but really not that bad. And then we get to start another dose of the ripening medication. So I get two doses of that, and we don't see any movement on my cervix. Like, my cervix is not dilating, it's not really getting softer, nothing's happening on that part, which is very frustrating. So at 7 p.m., we move on to the Foley balloon to try and dilate my cervix far enough so we can start the Pitocin, which really is the thing that gets labor going. And what this balloon is, it's basically a balloon that they insert behind your cervix. So it's inside your uterus, and it weighs down on your cervix because they fill it with some saline, and they just leave it in there and let it just like weigh down on your cervix, and it's supposed to dilate it. And every so often, every hour, I think, they pull on this chain, basic, not chain, string that they have hanging out of your vagina. So they pull on it, pull the balloon down into your cervix and see if your cervix is dilated enough that they can get that balloon out. And this happens like every hour. And I'm up and I'm going to the bathroom and I'm moving around. And every hour a nurse comes in and yanks my chain and tries to get that bad boy out. And I still haven't done any pain medications at this point, but I am experiencing pain because I've had my cervix checked multiple times, which in itself is fairly annoying and painful. And the Foley balloon inserted, which is also fairly painful and uncomfortable. And with the Foley balloon, I'm actually getting some painful contractions, which is great. I think, yay, we're getting some movement. My cervix is going to open and we can move on and I can have this baby soon. I get some pretty intense contractions overnight, but I was able to breathe through it and work through it. So I'm not thinking of the epidural at this point. I'm just like, yes, pain, come on. And then at 1 a.m. the next day, I've had this balloon in since 7 p.m. the day before, and it comes out at 1 a.m. So that's 7 minus 1. So that's 6 hours. 6 hours I've had this balloon in. They've been pulling on it, and 1 a.m., the nurse pulls hard because she wants to get this sucker out. So she pulls, nothing happens. She's like, I think it can come out. She pulls so freaking hard on it, and it just pops right out, and it hurt. I did not enjoy it. It hurt pretty bad. But they look at my cervix, and what do you know? It's 3 centimeters dilated. So yay, that is enough that we can start the Pitocin. Also, I went into the hospital and they said, There might be a dimple in it. Like, it's not really dilated at all. It's pretty closed. So I got to 3 centimeters in about 24 minus 8 hours. 24 minus 7 hours. No, 24. God. So 11 would be 12. 11 plus 3? 14? 14 hours, yeah. 14 hours. I got to 3 centimeters, and it's time to start the Pitocin. So I get on the Pitocin, and this is an entire day, 24 hours. I'm on the Pitocin, and I'm not allowed to eat solid food while I'm on this Pitocin. So from 1 a.m. to 1 a.m., I am on this Pitocin and I am on a 100% liquid diet. And I was getting contractions, but they were not as painful as the Foley balloon contractions. So I knew that there was no way that there was going to be any changes in my cervix. And we had the Pitocin. So you're allowed to raise it up if baby is not experiencing any negative effects of the labor, like the heart rate going down while while I'm having a contraction, and if the contractions aren't coming too fast, in air quotes. But we had it raised all the way up to 18, but the nurses said the contractions were coming too fast. And they lowered it. And this is when things started to get really disheartening. They brought it all the way down to 10, because the contractions were coming too fast. And my contractions pretty much stopped then. And they really didn't start up again, even though we turned it to the max dose of 30. The contractions didn't come back. I was just sitting there with Pitocin, and pretty much this doesn't happen. If you are given Pitocin, you go into labor, and it is painful labor. I didn't. It was awful. It was really, really awful. I felt so disheartened that my labor wasn't happening. This was now 2 days. Yeah, the first day was all ripening, the next day was all Pitocin, and this is the third day now we're talking about. At 1 a.m., we stopped the Pitocin and decided to go back to some cervical ripening methods. I get one dose of like a ripening medication vaginally, and 6 a.m. rolls around. Nothing has happened. No change in my cervix. There has been no change in my cervix since the Foley balloon. I get another dose at 6 a.m. 9 a.m., the third day, my OB comes in and we talk about options. And she tells me that we can go home against hospital orders. Like, against doctor's orders, we can be discharged from the hospital and try and come back later and see if the induction will take then. But I know for me, it will be, I wouldn't, like, I couldn't come back to the hospital at that point. I couldn't do it. It would be so traumatic for me to leave the hospital without my baby. I couldn't do it. There was no way that was going to happen. So my OB leaves, and I just like start bawling. It was awful. My nurse comes in and she sees me very, very upset, and I have been fairly calm throughout this entire process and tolerating it very well. And She comes in, she sees me so upset. I think it probably shocked her. She makes a deal with the doctors and they let me off the monitors so I can shower. I'm sorry. So on this third day, I finally get off the monitors, and I've had a fucking IV in this entire time too. And they unhooked me from the IV and they cap it off and they tape it down really good and I can shower and I get to shower and it's great. And they even let me go for a walk around the hospital. So I'm let out of my room. I go on a walk. I do stairs. I do squats. I try everything in my power to get this baby to move down and do anything so that baby can come out. And they let me out at 11 and I go back at noon into my room and we decide to do more cervical ripening. Because if I get put back on Pitocin at this point, I'm really worried that nothing will happen again because my cervix is not ready. We are at this exact same position we were when we started the Pitocin last time. Nothing has changed with my cervix, so we try yet a different cervical ripening method. This one's a 12-hour thing, and it's they put it in at noon. And this actually gave me some more pain. So this was actually some back pain. I was getting some back pain. So it was actually, I felt maybe like something might be happening. And I was pretty happy to have that pain. And then 12 a.m., the next day. So this is the fourth day. I think so. So yeah, this is the fourth day, 12 a.m. They check my cervix again and it's still 3 centimeters. Nothing's changed. But the doctor seems to think it's thinner. And also, they say that baby's position is -1. And that is the furthest down baby has been. So throughout this entire process, they've kind of been offering to break my waters. But I've been avoiding that and having them instead strip my waters. Because I was really worried about cord prolapse, a umbilical cord prolapse, which would result in a very dire situation for baby, an emergency C-section. Actually, I talked to my doctor about it, and I wanted to know exactly what would happen if we did have that happen. And she seemed hesitant to tell me. She was like, "You really want to know?" I was like, "Yes, I really want to know." And what they do is actually the person who breaks your water, they keep their hand inside you and kind of hold up the baby so that the cord doesn't slip down and get trapped. And they hop on your bed with you and they ride with you to the OR and they stay with their hand inside you until they get that baby out. And that was extremely comforting to me in a really weird way. I was like, "Oh, thank God." So with baby being at this lower position, we actually all feel pretty comfortable that there's not going to be a prolapse. So we break my waters and it was entirely non-painful. It was like the least painful experience. I've had the Foley balloon. I've had my cervix checked so many times, and I've had my water stripped, I think, about 3 times. And I'm pretty sure I'm starting to develop, like, a bruise on my fucking vagina, because when they check your cervix, they just, oh, God, it's so awful. They just, it felt like they were bruising the fuck out of my vagina because of how hard they were pushing. But my water broke, and that was at midnight on the fourth day. And by 1 a.m., I was having contractions every 1 minute. I was having 1 minute contractions every 5 minutes. And I very quickly realized that I was too exhausted. I couldn't deal with the pain. I couldn't deal with any of it anymore. And I opted for the epidural. All right, we're fine. So I opted for the epidural at that point because I was just too exhausted from all the day's events. So I got an epidural in an hour. It was extremely fast. I guess nobody else was really doing this shit at 1 a.m. But oh, hold on. All right, I'm back. I had a hungry baby. The epidural. I was having those 1 minute contractions every 5 minutes, and I kind of realized it wasn't gonna, I couldn't do it. It was the fourth day. I had expected, if, like, the worst case scenario, I thought, was that I was going to have the baby on the third day, not the fourth day. So I was just exhausted, and I hadn't really gotten a good night's sleep the previous nights, because obviously I'm in a hospital. I'm being woken up every, like, 2 hours to get my blood pressure checked, and I can't really move because I'm on this fetal monitor, and I have neglected to tell you how uncomfortable these labor and delivery beds are. They're the worst things in the world. They're so hard. Just, like, this, I don't see how anybody could sleep on these things. I had known that because of the previous 24 hours I had spent in the hospital because of the fall. So for the actual delivery, I realized I was going to have to bring something to put under the bed. So I brought a bunch of pillows and a really long body pillow, and I had that directly under me. And I was kind of staying only on that, so I added, that added a bit of padding to the bed. Okay. Okay. But really, I wasn't getting any sleep. So I was exhausted. I got the epidural. And I had a woman put it in. She did a really great job. It didn't really hurt at all. I got a local anesthetic injection before the epidural, and then I had it, and I think it took pretty much full effect after an hour. And after an hour, they put, I had to get a catheter because epidural causes you to need a catheter because you can't walk up to use the bathroom. So I got that. And then once the epidural was working, I also got put on Pitocin again to make the contractions that I was experiencing more regular, strong, and hopefully productive. And then at 2:30, they, they decided to put in internal fetal monitoring because the external one doesn't really measure the strength of the contractions. So they wanted to gauge contraction strength more closely, so they would have better indication if the Pitocin is working or not. So they did that. And oh no. All right. Okay, so where was I? Internal monitoring. So I got an internal monitoring to gauge the strength of contractions so that they could turn up the Pitocin high enough to get the strength of contractions that they needed and we needed to get the baby out. And then 30 minutes later, it seems like the baby's heart seems to be dropping with contractions, so I am being put through different positions to see if baby likes the left side or the right side more. And with the epidural, normally this is extremely hard to do and requires like two nurses to pull you and move you and turn you because your legs and body really can't move. But whoever did my epidural did such a good job that I actually had a lot of control over my legs and hips and everything. So I was probably about 3 or so hours after the epidural, I had pretty much full control, just no feeling. So I was able to, with the help of my nurse, go on each side that we needed to go on, and this continued through the night because baby really wasn't tolerating the Pitocin. It was causing the decreases of heart rate, and at this time also I got internal fetal monitoring introduced to baby. So I had one in my uterus for the contractions and then the other one in my uterus for baby. So it was all internal and no more external. And also through the night, my Pitocin was eventually turned off because baby wasn't tolerating it. And then I was starting to realize through the night that this is very likely going to end in a C-section. So at 7 a.m., the doctor came in and we did another cervical check and discovered there had been no change in my cervix at this time. So through the entire night, with the Pitocin, with the decreases, nothing happened. There was no progression of labor, absolutely nothing. And the doctor really didn't want to start the Pitocin again because of the decreases that baby's heart was experiencing. So we decided to opt for a C-section. So this was not an emergency C-section, which is great. It was just kind of an urgency thing. This labor is not going to progress without it being dangerous to one of us. So we talk about how I want the C-section to look. And I had heard about things called gentle C-sections. Hold on. And so gentle C-sections, I had heard of those in my birthing class. And the idea is the whole mechanics of the C-section, the medical side, it's exactly the same. But the doctors kind of keep you more up to date on what's happening. They tell you when you're going through every layer, and they will kind of drop the curtain when the baby comes out, and when they pull the baby out of you, they drop the curtain so you can see the baby. And they try and give you skin-to-skin contact as soon as possible. Uh-oh. I think my fire alarm's gonna go off if I don't turn a fan on in the kitchen. Hold on. So we talked about the gentle C-section, and the doctors were like, yeah, totally, we can do that. We'll try our best to accommodate those wishes in the OR. And, so pretty much this entire discussion had happened with my husband out of the room. He was going to get breakfast, and he comes in, and I am pretty much just about to be whisked away to the OR. And they didn't really fill him in on exactly what was going to be happening. So what they do is they pretty much get everything ready before the husband comes into the OR, or the father comes into the OR. And they said to me that it's going to feel like we forgot him, but we didn't. Don't worry. They just need to get every single thing ready, and then he'll be in there for the first incision. They told me that. They didn't tell him that. So they wheel me away, and he's like, the fuck? But they actually almost wheel me into the wrong OR. They were going, and we go into the room, and there's a lady in that OR, and she's like, oh, no, four, not three. And there's, like, this huge spill of liquid on the floor of that OR, and they're like, oh, okay. So that was a good sign. So we get into the correct OR. I am transferred to the table, which is tiny. It's this tiny little table, and your arms don't fit on it. So they have these two little side table things that kind of come out from under the table, and it's shaped like a fucking cross. So I'm on this tiny little table looking like I'm about to be crucified. And my husband's not allowed in the OR yet. And I've got my anesthesiologist. By my head. And he's... it's a different one than put in my epidural. But he's putting... like swiping my skin with cold cloth where the incision is going to be and a bit above where the incision is going to be, to test if I can feel it, because apparently the same cold is the same for pain versus pressure. Same nerve feeling thing. So I can feel it a bit. So he puts up the medication more, and at the end, I can still feel it like a little bit. But it's pretty far away from the incision site, so he and I talk as much as he can when I can't specifically look at somebody, but we talk, and he says we can either redo the epidural, or we can go ahead with it as it is, and if you start to experience a lot of pain during the operation, we can push drugs into an IV. And I say, yeah, I really don't want to redo the epidural right now. And we decide, yep, if I get into a lot of pain, we can just push drugs through the IV, and I can tell him that, but I want to wait until the baby's out, because these, kind of drugs can affect him and stay with him during the first periods of life. And I don't want my poor little baby all drugged up as soon as he's born. So we decide to do that, and I tell the anesthesiologist that, and he's like, okay, yeah, sounds good. So then they get everything ready, and my husband comes in, and he gets to sit at my head, too. So I've pretty much had my eyes closed this entire time, and I'm trying to my very best to stay calm because I am mortally terrified. I really didn't want to have a C-section. I am at this point very scared for my life, which is absurd, but it's true. And I was just really trying my best to stay calm and not to freak out. So I just had my eyes closed pretty much the entire time. My husband comes in and he's scared and he rubs my cheek and it's good. And then we make our first incision and I feel nothing. And the doctors are telling me every time they go down a layer, which is great. And as we get closer and closer to the uterus, I do feel a little pain, but it's really not that bad. So we keep going. And eventually they get to the uterus, they make the cut, and they drop the curtain, and I get to see my baby. I was still really scared at that point. So it didn't really hit me yet. I was still terrified. But they drop the curtain, and I see my baby, and he's crying up a storm, which is wonderful. So then they take him back to the corner and they do whatever they need to do. And the doctors are pulling out the placenta. And at that point, I'm no longer pregnant once you take the placenta out. So yay. They tell me that. And and then they start stitching me back up. Layer by layer, and every so often I hear the doctor say, can we get the baby back to mom? Mom really wants the baby. Let's get the baby to mom, which is really great. They're really doing their best to get the baby to me as soon as possible, which is everything I wanted. And it has to be only like 5 minutes. They plop the baby on my chest, and he actually latches in the OR, which is amazing. So we're able to breastfeed right away, which is really important if you want to have a fairly good breastfeeding relationship, to get that started right away. And we do. And it's great. And I get all stitched up. And they take me out of the OR and we go to the recovery room. And I am on all sorts of meds at this point. I'm given Dilaudid, and I think I was given fentanyl, and I'm all wonky. But in the recovery room, they measure baby and all that stuff, and I get him again, and we do a bit more feeding, and then eventually I get to go to my recovery room. So I get wheeled there. And I finally feel like it's all done. And I have my baby. And I'm not in mortal peril anymore. And baby's not in mortal peril anymore. And it's all good. And I start crying. Happy tears. And we get to my room. And it's got a comfy bed. The bed is actually comfortable. Which is such a relief. And I think I am exhausted, so I pretty much try my best to keep my eyes open when I have, when we have our first visitors, which are my parents and my husband's parents, but I am clearly barely awake, and I finally get to sleep for just a little bit after they leave, and then the nurses come. And I'm able to get up pretty fast after the surgery. It must have been only like 3 hours, maybe, in my room. Not 3 hours after the surgery, probably about 4 hours after the surgery. And go to the bathroom and get the catheter out, which is so exciting. And then pretty much the rest is recovery. We escape the hospital. Pretty much. Let's see. 2 days later. Yeah, 2 days later, we escape and we go home. Finally. 72 hours after I was admitted to the hospital, I finally get my baby. It was such a long experience, and I hope that nobody else has to go through a failed epidural. I didn't have a failed epidural, thank God. I only had a failed induction. I hope nobody else has to go through that, because it is very disheartening when the thing that is supposed to work doesn't work. Like, the nurses kept saying, this normally works. Like, this works for everybody else. Why? Ugh. Yeah. So that is the birth story. I'm sorry, baby was loud and distracting. I hope it wasn't too distracting. But it's just a bit of my life now. I hope you enjoyed or something. Bye.